All right, it is now time to go to the MGM Northfield Park hotline where we welcome in Browns analyst Tony Grossi. Good morning, Tony.
Admiral?
Tony.
Good morning.
There he is.
Ah.
Sorry. Morning, Tony. I know. We had to get up for this, too. You had to sleep in a little bit today.
Oh, no. I've been watching this early game since the opening kickoff, so I've been up.
All right. Well,
no rest for the weary.
No, that's for sure. All right, Tony, I want to start with $6 tickets today. $6. What do you make of this early in the season?
I would bet you that any season that is at 2-7, going back to the history of the Browns, it's the same old thing. You can't sell tickets to a 2-17, no matter what era you're in. They're in the height of the Browns in the 80s. If they had a bad season like this, the place would be empty. So don't make anything of it. People aren't foolish. They're not going to pay to watch this product right now, but they'll pay to watch it when it comes back next year.
All right, Tony, Dylan Gabriel, he's getting his sixth start again this week with Tommy Rees calling plays his second week. How does Tommy get him going today? Will he?
I think they got to commit to the running game, which is a tough commitment against the Ravens. Ever since they've switched their defense to put Kyle Hamilton in the tackle box, they've been very difficult to run against. But I would combat that with a two-back offense, one of which is the 280-pound fullback. I would go back to basics. If you have to punt a lot, you punt a lot. But I think they got to, I wrote this morning that they need a Nick Chubb kind of day out of Quinshon Judkins. And you might have to overcommit to that to get there. And then hope, Gabriel makes a few pass plays down the field. And there you go. I mean, you can't do anything exotic. When you're struggling like this offensively, you got to reduce rather than expand the menu.
Tony, this offense is averaging 5 yards per attempt for pass plays, 265 yards total offense per game. And it's like I said before, it's a narrative starting to form that Dylan Gabriel is just not tall enough to see over the line of scrimmage. Do you kind of share that sentiment?
Well, there's no doubt he's got limitations because of his height. They have to get him out of the pocket more. They did that a little bit more against the Jets. Again, if you're running the ball, that creates better pass opportunities too off play action. His two touchdowns last week were off play action under center. More of that. But yeah, he's got limitations. That's why he was a third round pick and not a first round pick. So you just have to deal with it. It's the coaches that have to deal with it. And you constantly hear them say, we got to put our players in positions to win. Well, they need to do a better job of that with Gabriel.
Tony, special teams obviously has been a disaster since Bubba has been here. But it opens up the question, too. We hear a lot from the coaches and Spansky, like that they get it done in practice. They do it well in practice, and it doesn't translate. Where's that disconnect?
Yeah, I don't know. In practice, they never run full-speed special teams drills, even going back to training camp. It's all half-speed. It's like a walkthrough. And you're never exposed to the real speed of the special teams game until you're in the game. Now, maybe that has something to do with it, but listen, other teams managed to get it done. So I don't know what the excuse is or what the disconnect is, but it's obviously been a downfall of these last two seasons. It's been special teams. I mean, they've had their, periodic successes like the blocked, field goal attempt in the Miami game. Or not the Miami, the Green Bay game, but they're few and far between. There are far more negative plays than positive plays, and that's reflective of a poorly coached team. Really, if your special teams are contributing to losses rather than wins, that makes it even tougher to win. Obviously, especially with a rookie quarterback and an offense like this.
Tony, another week has gone by and still no mention of Shedeur Sanders. Is there a possibility that he makes an appearance today, or are we getting to a point where we're going to see Shedeur Sanders soon, or are we not going to see him at all this year?
I don't know, Dale. Anything can happen. I'm just exhausted from trying to handicap what they're going to do because they don't usually do logical things. I will say this, probably on Monday or Wednesday, we're going to hear that Deshaun Watson has been medically cleared to return to practice. That opens the 21-day window. I've said for weeks that the Browns are trying to get Gabriel to bridge the gap to when Watson's available, and I have no reason to say anything else. Now, Shador could get in today, other than injury. If the game is...
Tickets are $6, you know, totally, Tom. $6 tickets.
Will people come flooding to the stadium just to see this fifth-round quarterback? Is that what you're telling me?
I think so. Maybe tickets won't be $6.
They will not. Who do you think we see first, Tony? Deshaun or Shador?
I've said Deshaun. I have no reason to think differently. Unless they're getting blown out by 40, 30 points in the, you know, top of the fourth quarter, we might see them. But there's no vibe in the building whatsoever that he's on the verge of playing. And that comes from coaches, players, and team executives. So you guys can pine about them all you want. We're not making the decisions. They are.
Who in that building is still an advocate for Deshaun Watson? Is it the money plan factor into him playing? Because I thought that experiment was over.
Well, it is over, but, you know, I see it this way, Dale. I see it as a part of the plan in exiting from him, actually, is to get him on the field.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, get him on tape. To show people that he can still play, or if he can still play, and deal with this issue in the off season. He's the best quarterback right now on the roster, and for me to say that, you know, tells you a lot about the two rookies at this point.
Tony, Paul DePodesta officially now with the Rockies.
Thank you.
Are the Browns going to fill his role? Have we heard anything else develop?
No, not since the news of him leaving. I think I still, the Haslams, they knew a month ago that, you know, this was possible, but it wasn't a plan of them, you know. So I think they now have the rest of the season to decide which way they go here. Do they just fill his role with some administrative position, or do they use this as an impetus to clean house? And I think the record has a lot to do with what they do. So, it's 8 games left. We can't, you know, we can't punch in fake scores and say, okay, the season's over. They were 4-13. Let's start making changes. In real life, you let things play out.
Admiral, you need a leave of absence, man. Get Grossy to Vegas, man. It just sound, you know, like you said, you're exhausted from this whole process.
Well, I get the same question, Dale. I get the same question 5 times a day. And everybody wants to do something now. What can you do but play the games? I mean, you can't do anything. They are not going to make the playoffs, even if they fire everybody, okay? Watch the games on Saturday to get excited. There's the quarterback of the future somewhere playing.
Speaking of Saturday, who'd you like? How would you make him, Mendoza? No, I like him too, Tony.
Well, he looks pretty awesome to me. You know, I can't wait for the, what would it be, the Big Ten championship game between Indiana and Ohio State. That's a great defensive test for Mendoza. So I'll hold off on, you know, until I see him perform in that game. But clearly he's the number one quarterback right now. Dante Moore had a really good game. I'm not sure about the competition he faced, but he was nearly perfect. My guy Sellers had a great first half and a bad second half. And Simpson took it on the chin with a lot of turnovers in the Alabama game. So I'm going to repeat what I say every day on RBS or wherever I'm at. One of those four quarterbacks, I believe, will be the Browns' first pick in the draft.
Do you?
If, you know, they may not all come off, but okay. I mean, that's going to change things. Obviously, Mendoza and Simpson are pretty much givens that they're going to come out. The other two guys, it would help the Browns if they came out, but it's 50-50 over whether they will.
Do you think that there's a correlation between why the Browns are still playing and starting Dylan Gabriel with the said draft status, draft pick capital? Is, you know, they know that Dylan Gabriel can lose enough games to ensure them a top five, top three pick in the draft?
Dale, if they wanted to lose every game, they'd put Shador in right now.
I don't know about that, Tony. I think Shador's not playing because he might win games.
Oh, gosh. I don't think so.
All right. We'll see.
I don't think so.
We'll see. We'll have to bet a bottle of red on that, you know?
When are we going to see?
I don't know. You got to ask the dead people walking in that.
Would it be helping or hurting Shador at this point?
Listen, I'm not playing the victim card here. If it's his time to go in, he goes in, no matter what the state of the team is, right? Yeah. He could have been drafted by Baltimore or Philly. He said, no thanks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, quit playing the victim with this guy. Put him in there. Let's see him play.
I'm with you, Tony. Tony, if we lose today, I mean, the way that we lost, we will probably.
We'd all be drunk.
But with the Jets, how we lost at the end of the game with the Jets, is everyone's job safe on Monday?
I would think so, yeah. Again, because it's not going to change the fortunes of anything by firing anybody right now.
But doesn't it send a message?
What, to who?
The fans, the fan base. I mean, we're no longer accepting this just dumpster fire of a coaching staff or an organization.
Having actual leadership standards.
I mean, if that's enough to placate everybody, fine. But it's not going to change whether they win or lose the remaining seven games after today. It just isn't. I mean, this is a terrible season. If you win three more games the rest of the year, will that make everybody happy? Not really.
Sounds like a eulogy segment.
It's $6 tickets. You can buy a Subway sandwich for $6. This is one of those games where you pass out tickets to the youth football organizations to fill your stadium. That sends a message to your owner, man. We're talking about his pockets.
Dale, I've done this for 40 years. 35 years ago, you could get tickets for cheaper than that on a 2-7 season. All right, it's no reflection of anything other than the team is having a terrible year. Every time the Browns are 2-7 or 2-8, the place is empty. Even during the Cozard, the Sipe years, name whatever era you want. There's nothing unusual about tickets being available in a 2-7 season.
Well, I'm not just fine with just being here. Fire all that. I've had it. You've been done this for 40 years, and I'm almost 40 years old. So I get it. I just tired of seeing the same crap. We got to be better. Got to do better. Got to plan better. Got to play better. I'm sick of hearing it. I'm sick of watching Kevin Stefanski trot himself up at the post game and say the same crap. We're going to start Dylan Gabriel again. The average 14 points and lose. So fire everybody, because I'm at loss for words right now. I don't know.
You're not alone. I'm sure of that. I understand. It's frustrating, but this is the bet they made when they traded Flacco, and you all wanted him traded. You all said he's over the hill.
Watch him beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You know, you all wanted him out. Every single person in this city except me.
The GM set
the course of the season. Listen, the GM set the course of the season when he
sure
did,
did
that. So put the blame on him.
I agree.
Put the blame on him.
I agree. All right. Thank you, Tony. That was Browns analyst Tony Grossi. You can read Tony on thelandondemand.com and hear him every day on 850 ESPN Cleveland.